Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The only thing standing between you and your dreams is you and your dreams.
Lord, Father God, we give thanks and praise for all of these bountiful gifts.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you.
And Luke, his work in pool sanitation, Lord, it is really something else.
Tanner, it's time for us to do something with our lives.
Time to go to church.
The attendance of the church has been slowly declining. We need 75 grand just to make the rest of the years rent.
Okay, I got an idea. Faith-based, the entire genre is a goldmine. I want to make the best Christian movie Jesus has ever seen. It's time to show my dad what we can do. Dude, it seems like a lot of work. Nikki Steele says,
you work hard, you play hard. You work harder, you play harder. You work hardest, you play rock hard.
I'm in.
For these movies to make money, you need some keywords in the title. Purpose, faith, prayer, heaven.
You know, Thoughts and Prayers, the movie. Prayer and Prejudice, Faith and Furious.
A prayer in space.
The first prayer ever to be prayed in space.
You gotta talk about God. Doesn't have to be God, God. You can talk about a higher power.
So then it's like... spaceship lands perfectly on Mars.
Action, space monster!
What the itchy double hockey sticks is this?
Why do all these Christian movies have to be bad?
They don't have to be bad. They just don't have to be good.
Christian movies are a great way to impact the world, and they're also very lucrative.
What do you two even know about making a movie?
What it do, baby? It's the Preachers and Sneakers podcast. A lot going on the past couple weeks. Got some craziness happening at Hillsong, the election, everyone's lost their minds. And I released the cover and release date for the new Preachers and Sneakers book of note. Probably the most important thing going on the past couple weeks. If you didn't see the news, head on over to my Instagram and check out the cover and the release date. Well, I'll just tell you, it's April 27th, 2021. Pre-orders are open on all the book retailers. You can't say one retailer over the other because the others get pissed. So go to your quote-unquote favorite book retailer to pre-order my new book about for-profit faith and wannabe celebrities. Coming early next year. Super pumped about it. I busted my ass all year writing this book. Every word. Zero ghostwriters, unlike... a lot of other people I know. So I hope you enjoy it. I think it will be good for digging deeper into some of the harder questions about all the money that goes around and all the celebrity that goes around in the Christian world. Written by a pretty normal idiot dude. So hopefully it's relatable or easy to understand or easy to digest. Or you may hate it. We'll see. But would love it if you pre-ordered over at your favorite book retailer. Anyways, today's episode's exciting because I've got two of my good Hollywood buddies, Luke Barnett and Tanner Thomason, in the house. They, if you don't know who they are, they wrote and produced a feature film satirizing, I'm not sure if that's a word, but a satire about the Christian film industry. So it's kind of like double meta. They're dudes making a movie about dudes making a movie, but the film is called Faith-Based, and it's got some like real heavy hitting actors in it, like Jason Alexander from Seinfeld and David Koechner from The Office and pretty much Anchorman, all the comedies. It's awesome. The movie's hilarious. and I was pumped to have him on the podcast today to talk about the movie, talk about how they got into Hollywood, their background, and how they know about kind of the quirky Christian world, and what the future holds for him. So this should be entertaining, and I hope you get something out of it, because it's a good discussion about whether or not it's okay to make fun of Christian stuff if you're a Christian. So sit back, relax, enjoy the next hour or so with Luke Barnett and Tanner Thomason. Okay, on today's episode of the Preachers and Sneakers podcast, I've got my two good buddies, Luke Barnett and Tanner Thomason, in the house. What's happening, dudes?
Tyler, thank you so much.
Hey.
Yeah, man, what's going on?
Not much. So if you don't know Luke and Tanner, they wrote and acted and produced the brand new movie Faith-Based, which is all about the Christian film industry. And we got to know each other because we kind of play in the same sandbox in a lot of ways by
slightly
creating satire around Christian culture. So before we get to the movie, I would just love to hear for the listeners, maybe both of y'all's quick backgrounds and maybe how you got into the Hollywood scene and how you came to be making this like pretty big time movie.
Ooh, man, first off, thank you for calling it big time.
Oh, yeah. It's big time. I mean, once we get into the cast, I think people will agree that it seems big time to me.
It's big time to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Luke. You first.
Yeah. For me, I moved out here. I think Tanner and I actually moved out here right around the same time, you know, roughly 15-ish years ago, somewhere in that range. I'm from D.C. originally. I grew up going to the tiniest Christian kind of like kindergarten through 12 school. Mm-hmm. You know, most of my many peers ended up going on to Christian colleges, whether it be Liberty or whatnot.
And Tyler Huckabee.
And I'm, yeah, yeah, I didn't go to school with him, but you know,
go ahead.
But he's the best. He's been such a relevant, been a great supporter of the movie as well.
Yeah.
So,
but y'all are like homies offline, like in real life. Not just over.
No, we connected through this movie.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like you and I. Like, I think once the movie came on his radar, he DM'd me on Twitter, just like, I got to know more about this.
He loves
sort of thing.
This kind
and
of
it's
thing.
Obviously up his alley. Yeah, for sure. And he's a great voice for, like, for lack of a better term, the like forward thinking Christian community of sorts. Like, I really appreciate what he kind of like adds to the conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, where I grew up was very like quintessential evangelical, like my high school was the movie Saved. And I grew up very much like going to youth conferences and listening to like Christian punk and ska in the 90s and kind of constantly going through a cycle of like, repenting and then dedicating my life to the Lord. Yes. And then all of a sudden realizing it was like, 6 months later, really fun to like touch my girlfriend's boobs and like try alcohol. And so then I would go back downhill and then repent again and round and round we go.
And then you grew that mustache.
And then I grew this sweet mustache and everything changed. I moved to LA around the same time as Tanner. And started just kind of auditioning like a lot of people do as aspiring actors for really bad kind of student films and indie films. Mm-hmm. And Three Lines on CSI Miami and the quintessential kind of grind. And then I had a roommate, Carly Craig, who actually is in our movie and is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Who she had been working with Funny or Die, which is Will Ferrell's website that used to do a lot more sketch comedy stuff.
Yeah.
And she basically said, like, why aren't you writing? Like, write something and I'll kind of like help you get it to them and do it. And I wrote this sketch called, it was called Growing Up with Gosling. And I basically, Tanner actually helped me out on it. It was one of the first things we kind of did together. And I basically, in the sketch, played Ryan Gosling's childhood best friend who he had tried to cast in all of his movies as the other lead. But a few days in, the studio would replace me with a woman. And so the sketch kind of goes back and forth between Ryan and I wearing these matching tank tops and glasses, and then scenes from his movies where I'm green screened in place of Rachel McAdams or Christina Hendricks. And all of a sudden, like, this thing that we shot for like probably $300 is in the LA Times and is in the Hollywood Reporter and all this stuff. And I had a moment at that there of like, oh, this is where it's at. Like, kind of just making your own stuff versus like auditioning for these tiny, terrible things that no one's ever going to see, or I'm probably not even going to book.
Yeah. What year was that?
And that was 2012.
Okay. I remember the Funny or Die, I think, for people that maybe don't know what it is. I don't know if people saw those videos of Will Ferrell and maybe it was his daughter trying to collect
the landlord,
cussing him out and stuff. That was like the pinnacle of comedy to me at the time. That was funny.
Well, he had a run there, like it was probably 2011 to 2016 or 15 that Funny or Die was like, you know, top of the online comedy game.
Yeah. And so you were there at a good time.
Yeah, that was a good time, and I did a bunch of stuff there with Tanner and Vince, who directed the movie. We kind of like met doing one of those videos, and that kind of led to our first feature, which was a horror comedy called Fear Inc. that I wrote, and Tanner was a producer on, and Vince, who directed Faith Based, directed that, which was literally kind of like us and our friends getting credit cards and friends investing and trying to make this movie and. We did, and it premiered at Tribeca and was kind of a, you know, I wouldn't say it was a launch pad in the sense of like it didn't make us rich or anything, but it definitely kind of got us at least like into the game a little bit. Like once it premiered at Tribeca, we were at least able to like get in some conversations about like what we want to do. And yeah, man, a few years later, we're here talking about like a real passion project, faith-based.
It's awesome.
It's kind of my long story, really long.
Wow. What about you, Tanner?
Oh, man. Yeah, so freaking A, man. I'm from Southeast Oklahoma, which I know you're in Texas. And so, like, I'm from the buckle of the Bible Belt. And
there's a lot of buckles around here.
Yeah, a whole lot of those.
It's one huge buckle.
I grew up going to, like, Southern Baptist and Methodist churches. My grandfather is the last living deacon of his of Trinity Baptist Church in Idabel, Oklahoma. He literally built it with his hands. Went to Falls Creek many years. Was the president of my Methodist youth district.
Nice.
Did all that sort of stuff.
Tanner still has that on his business card, which I think is like weird, but it's cool.
You know, it opens doors and it's a conversation.
Especially in Hollywood, for sure.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Especially in Hollywood.
1997 youth group chairman.
I don't know if you guys are aware or not, but I organized the Southeastern District's lock-in 3 years in a row. And
lots of Mountain Dew.
Rave reviews.
Yeah, rave reviews.
So, yes, I brought Surge.
Yeah, moved to LA, went to college, studied business, moved to LA in 2005, started working behind the camera in reality television. I did lots of reality TV for years, got into making, short form content with friends, started making some stuff with Luke. I wound up hosting and producing a talk show for a number of years. It started on the internet, then made the leap to, national syndication. And then, that was when Fear Inc. was made. And so I was a producer on Fear Inc. That would have been 2015, 2016.
It came out in 16, made it
came in 15. Out in 16, made in 15. And then after my show, after, I don't know, 6-7 years of this show, no, 6 years, 5 years of this, 5 years of the show, show ended. I started working for CBS doing the exact same thing. I was with them for a year. And then that brings us to here.
Wow.
Yeah. Also like did a lot of random, lots and lots of random online short form comedy videos in the meantime.
Huh? How do you go from business undergrad to working behind a camera? What is that? How did that happen?
So it's weird, man. Like in retrospect, if I could go back, I would probably try to save, honestly, I would probably try to save my parents a lot of money and say that I didn't need those years of college education.
Yeah.
Not that that's not important, but it was just like one of those things where like, I'm good at school. I'm very good at school, but being good at school is a very specific thing. It doesn't always translate into other areas of life. And so when I graduated high school, I'm the oldest of three. And so the presumption was that I was going to go to school. And at that point in time, I was like, I don't know, maybe I just want to go live life.
A parent's dream.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They don't like that. So I don't know, long story short, like I had a degree in marketing and then I went and started working for minimum wage or less on bad reality television. And I
so it was like an hourly type thing. That's not like a career job. That's like a hired gun type.
Well, the entry into the reality, like being a PA and stuff like that, is
they typically don't pay by the hourly. It's typically a day rate, but that rate is pretty low. You can absolutely have fantastic and great and rewarding jobs in reality television. But just those aren't the ones that you start with.
Right. Yeah. Tracking. All right. So maybe if we can add some value to people that are listening that maybe have considered getting into the acting game, because I imagine everyone has the same thoughts. Like, how the frick am I supposed to actually get a gig without having any experience or any agent or any friends in LA? Like for you, Luke, you basically said, hey, I started auditioning for shitty commercials. What does that process look like? Or maybe from your perspective now, what does that look like for somebody that's a newbie?
Yeah, I mean, I think if somebody was going to come out of here and pursue it, I think the thing I would have liked to have done different is making my own content that I started doing in like 2012-13. I wish I had done that right away. I wish I had from the beginning like started making my own stuff, because when we first did Fear Inc., that was my first like really an oh shit moment. Like I kind of got out of the acting game for a while and basically got back into it like a year and a half ago, because I had a moment with Fear Inc. where we were casting it and we were getting pitched people that we would meet with who were like series regulars on TV shows. And our movie was an ultra low budget movie that paid $300 a day. And we were getting pitched people, and we were like, they're not big enough. We got to have somebody that's going to sell the movie. And that was a moment for me as an actor that no one knew about, that I was like, who the fuck would cast me? Like, why would you cast me if I'm having a moment where I'm meeting with like the star of a Fox sitcom that's been on for 7 years. And I'm like, he's not big enough. Then like no one's going to cast Luke Barnett.
Right.
And so that was like a moment for me of just like, I think I'll focus on writing and producing more. But I think Faith-Based has really like shown me like it's the same as making a sketch. It's like it all comes down to like we have the power now to create our own content, whether that's because of the technology or because of just the people that are all like kind of down to do it. That's what I would do, because like even my life now, I still audition. Dude, I made half my year's living last year off of a Toyota commercial. So it's like I still do that stuff, you know, as much as I can. Yeah. But so much of it is out of your control. Like you could be the best actor in the room, but if they're imagining something different, like you're not going to get that role.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The best actor in the room. And I hate the idea of my entire career being completely out of my hands.
Yeah.
And so that was definitely the moment for me, and I'm sure Tanner would agree, of like, you got to create your own content.
Yeah, let me boil it down real quick for anybody who is listening to this podcast and you're like, oh, I have this dream. Maybe you're even scared to like say it out loud, but like this thing that you want to do. Acting in particular now is so incredibly different, or trying to be successful in that business is so incredibly different than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. When Brad Pitt was coming up in the late 80s and 90s, like you could be an unknown and just grind your way through auditions and stack your credits up.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's a reality anymore. The reality is that what you have to do is, just like technology came around and like made some jobs go away because we don't need the woman who's connecting phone lines in the phone anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Our phones do that automatically. That job went away. Jobs get consolidated. So I don't think you can afford anymore, especially if you're trying to start out, to think of yourself as just an actor. Like you have to be a writer. You must be a producer. Those used to be three separate jobs, but now if you're not doing all three of those things, you will never get ahead. And I think that's true. I mean, look, it's like, look, you started out making a real specific thing with the Instagram. People responded to that. Uh-huh. Now we're talking about books. And so you're creating these opportunities. And people just have to realize that they have to do that.
Yeah.
If you hadn't created the Instagram yourself and had that work, then like you would have this podcast right now that like would only be listened to by your like, you know, six Facebook friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
if that.
And they would hate it.
Yeah. But now I would venture to say that I might be the next generation Brad Pitt.
There,
like if we're honest. Like, I don't want to toot my own horn as much, but
I'm actually glad you brought this up. Luke and I brought you here today because we'd like to past you.
Thank you.
In our Thelma and Louise.
My abs are in perfect condition for that role.
You're now going to be the shirtless hitchhiker that we pick up on our road trip movie.
Heck yeah, man. My wife is going to be so stoked to move again. Anyways, okay, is that super helpful? I mean, that's something I think about every once in a while, and I'm sure there's tons of people out there that are like, how the frick do these guys get to where they are? Because if you saw them on screen, they're very unimpressive people and really not talented at all. So
I just want to drive this home real, just one last thing, because I get so hyped about this, about like following your creative passion and like putting the work in to do it. Billie freaking Eilish and her brother cut their album in their bedroom.
Oh yeah. Like the one that she won
Grammys.
Yeah. They're crazy.
You gotta make your own thing.
They're also kind of talented.
It also helps if you're incredibly talented. Luke and I have none of that.
And we still got Jason Alexander.
Yeah, and we're also not attractive.
That's very true. Billie Eilish is so good. There's only a few people that can do that, where you can show up with something unique in a world of tons of stuff that isn't unique. Like somehow they were able to show up and be talented enough and also create something that people are like, what is this?
Oh, this is different.
Yeah, and it's hard to kind of it's hard to generate that. Yeah. But what I hear you saying is that maybe you take some crappy jobs at first, but be persistent with it. And even if you're not making anything from it, do the thing that you want to do, because there's no excuse at this point.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Interesting. Okay, sweet. Well, let's get to the movie. So y'all, after Fear Inc., you wrote and did you produce the movie too? Are you counted as producers as well? Okay.
Yeah.
So this movie, Faith-Based, is basically a comedy about the Christian film industry, which if you grow up in Christian world, you know very, very well about the kind of cheese level movies that go out there, but also get consumed at a very large scale. So do one of y'all mind kind of walking through just the basic premise of the movie and maybe how you got the idea and where it stands now?
Yeah. I mean, the idea of the movie, where it kind of came from originally was, Vince and I, after Fear Inc., we were pitching a lot. So we kept pitching kind of TV shows, and we were pitching a different script out. And honestly, we kept getting like really good responses, but then it wouldn't get made. And so then because we were trying to like move up a little bit. So we were, it was a little bit of a bigger movie and a TV show, which obviously we've never had a TV show. So everyone would have to take a risk on us. And it was just like, constant no's. And I think we thought when the movie had premiered at Tribeca that you hear so many stories about a movie premiering at a festival and all of a sudden those kind of indie filmmakers all of a sudden getting a massive studio movie or getting something like that. And we just expected that that's what happens. And then after 2 years of it not happening, I can't remember if it was War Room or I'm not joking, God's Not Dead 3. Uh-huh. One of those two movies had come out and it made like $30 million. And I looked at Vince and I just said, we should just make a bad Christian movie and then use that money to fund all these things that we're pitching. Hmm. And it started off as just a total joke. And then we kind of, it's kind of funny. I ran the idea by Tanner, like, it is a funny premise for this. And we kind of tried to work it out as like a TV pitch, like an American Vandal sort of thing. Yep. And we liked it, but we also really loved the first season and it ended kind of perfectly. And we couldn't really figure out where to go from there. And so we, at one point, Vince and I had produced two other movies in a row that we're really proud of, but they were kind of these dark crime thrillers and weren't necessarily exactly what we wanted to be making as a writer and him as a director.
Yeah.
And so we just said, man, let's just write this as a feature, go shoot it with our friends on cell phones for no money. We'll improvise the entire thing. And we were like kind of set to make this movie that way. And then it just kind of organically grew a little bit. So, Tanner got involved. I ended up writing like a script instead of improvising it. We started to cast everybody started to say yes when we were casting it. We raised a little bit of money. And so now we've got this movie that's essentially these two guys played by Tanner and I who similar to that story I just told, come to the realization that a lot of these bad Christian movies make a lot of money. And so they, essentially decide they're going to try to make one of their own, even though they're not Christians and don't necessarily know how to make movies.
It's pretty meta because you're essentially making a movie about what you're... So the movie is about...
Idiots making a movie about idiots making a movie.
Yeah. And, yeah.
It's like two dumb guys making a movie about two slightly dumber guys making a movie.
And that was the thing. Like at first, I was skeptical because mainstream culture often gets Christian culture wrong, where it's like, all right, you're making fun of it, but you're also being kind of intellectually lazy about it. Like, congrats. You just do what like the caricature version of Christians are. But what I appreciate about it, y'all's movie, is that there are, I think people in the Christian sphere that still call themselves Christians can appreciate it at least. Like, even if they're like, all right, they're kind of making fun of what we do. There's still elements that it's not just like cartoony to me. Like,
I truly think that, Luke and Vince and myself have talked about this a lot. I truly think that the people who are going to connect with this the most and like this the most are Christians. Like, I truly believe that, especially sort of the forward thinking Christians. Yeah. I mean, if
they can get past the R rating for language.
Yeah. If they can get past the F bombs we drop in the first 30 seconds,
three lines.
Yeah. People are going to start watching us thinking it's a Christian film. And they're like,
I had a moment like this weekend when it first came out where I just thought to myself, there has to be at least one, if not multiple moments where someone clicks on this thing, like on DirecTV or they're in Ohio and they just like, faith-based, a Christian movie and the poster's like hand-drawn. So did they even think it's a Christian kids cartoon? I don't know. But I need to know someone didn't watch the trailer and clicks it. And then the third word uttered is the F-bomb. And I just love the idea of just a whole family, like their grandma being in there for like movie night. And then it just starts and like David Koecker just pops up and
being corrupted, immediately corrupted. Yeah. And that's crazy. Like going back to the Christians appreciating it. I think this is something I think about a lot, is like whether or not it's okay for Christians to make fun of their own culture. Because a lot, like with my account, there's a lot of people that cannot compute why someone in the Christian world would make fun of Christian culture. Mm. And you definitely have to be open-minded enough when you're watching this movie to be like, all right, we do some kind of kooky things from the outside looking in. I just wish more people were able to do that, where it's like, yes, like the whole concept of this is serious and with this like dictates our life. But also, come on, like, we can joke about this, and nobody's off limits for making jokes about them, I think. Like, I think if you're able to make jokes about somebody, you should be able to, for the most part, say for maybe a couple things, make jokes about anything. Like, that's comedy. I just wish more Christians were open to receiving that about them, the stuff that they believe. Because, I mean, I'm a Christian, like, very seriously a Christian, and I get such a kick out of this because, one, I love comedy, but also the stuff we do is very tribal and weird and, is hard for people to comprehend sometimes. And often we get sucked in and don't start looking at the comedic elements of that. So I think y'all nailed that from my regard.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It was a pity compliment, but
we'll take it. You know what? We're not casting you as in our Thelma and Louise.
You're not Brad Pitt and Thelma and Louise anymore.
There are some daily comforts that just make you grateful and feel more grounded in life. Petting the dog, hitting the snooze button, and of course, that first cup of coffee. These are things that you count on every day to help you get where you want to go. Things like the Upper Room Daily Devotional Guide. You can count on the Upper Room for daily inspiration, daily community, and daily prayer. It's the only daily devotional magazine written by readers, ordinary people who've encountered God in daily situations. The Upper Room is here for you every day through your email, a custom app, or printed magazine. Enjoy a free 30-day trial of the email or app service by visiting upperroom.org/welcome. That's upperroom.org/welcome to get your first 30 days free.
You know, one of the things I think is interesting is I think there's this weird misconception in a lot of evangelical Christianity that Christians are this kind of minority that's being pushed out, when like the reality is that they are the vast majority. And so it's kind of like you a movie like this, or even like your Instagram, if anything, it's the epitome, it's the definition of punching up. So it's kind of like, it's like you can't go after the biggest, most popular thing ever,
of course,
and then act as if we're like hurting the little guy. Right. You know what I mean? It's like
that is a very good way to put it. It's like it is a very main. There's a lot of Christians out there, and it is.
It doesn't get bigger,
and especially in America, none of us, depending on who you ask, are being actually persecuted for our faith, and
making
jokes about the thing is hardly persecution. Like, sure, if you're getting like bullied at work or isolated or something because of your faith, that's, I would say that's persecution. But by making jokes about it is so far from persecution to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Listen, here's the real deal, honest truth is like within the last two weeks, Christians have literally been arrested in China. That's not hyperbole. That's not conspiracy. That's like actual news that happened because China didn't want Christianity. That was, you know, they can do that over there. But like the other side of it is like, are you the kind of person who, like, if you trip and fall down and you're not injured, can you laugh at yourself?
Yeah.
Some people can, and everyone laughs harder because of it. But then some people can't, and they act like, oh, if how oh, I'm so hurt, I'm so embarrassed, and like, and so it's, I don't know. To me, that's like, it's kind of like a mirror. You know, if you hold that mirror up and you're able to laugh at yourself, then to me that says a whole lot more about you than the person who's not capable of laughing at themselves.
Yeah, and life will go better for you, I think, if you're able to maybe not take things so
a lot easier, a lot smoother path.
So on that note, your trailer, or maybe just the announcement of your movie, was featured on Fox News months ago, and y'all got some interesting comments. You mind talking about that whole situation real quick? Cause I related very well to that.
So as the movie was coming together, we got really lucky in that we were able to get, you know, some recognizable famous people, some actual famous actors to come out and be in this movie with not famous and not talented Luke and Tanner. And so on our very first day of production, which was like in my house, in the living room that I'm sitting in, somebody's phone started blowing up, and basically one of the articles about, oh, hey, this movie is getting made, got picked up by Fox News, and then pretty quickly thereafter, Breitbart, their main.coms. And they were calling us Hollywood hacks, and they were saying that more Los Angeles Hollywood hacks are making fun of Christians and the Christian film industry and how terrible we are because of this, and all kinds of other things. And then we went on and shot the movie, which, you know, takes us to nearing the end of last year. Now, at this point, we knew that we'd gotten into the Santa Barbara Film Festival, and we needed to raise some awareness about it. And so we were trying to figure out what's a piece of content that we can release that will really go viral, that will like stir up some conversations. And then we thought, oh, hey, we can go back to those Fox News and Breitbart articles, because there were literally 10,000 comments in the comment sections of these articles.
That's a lot.
It's a whole lot. That people are very passionate.
It's interesting how easily you can control people's emotions by attacking certain things in life.
Yeah. You want to get people riled up, you do it with fear, you do it with anger. It's like the nightly news used to be two things in your kitchen that can kill you. But first, you know, so like now we're going to, they've got you hooked on that. We went through those comments and put the best ones into a little fake trailer that we released, that then Breitbart picked. They took the bait and picked it back.
Oh, that was the best part. I was so curious. We released this trailer, and I was just like, I wonder if they're going to respond again. And then they didn't on that day. And then the next day, this Breitbart article comes out, and the guy's like first sentence in the article was like, I wasn't going to respond. And I was just like, got him.
So he was pissed.
Yeah,
he was
pissed, but he still gave us that national news coverage, and we were happy.
Mission
for
accomplished.
It.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
You out leveled him in thinking. That's awesome. does that affect y'all at all? Like, I mean, when so many people are like, you're going to hell for this, or like, we're going to stab you.
Does that I mean, maybe it would be different if they had seen the movie or they were commenting on something in the movie or whatnot, but like, that, it doesn't affect me at all to have something that, you know, absolutely nothing whatsoever about, you to just jump to some sort of presumption and then just randomly get on your internet and waste 10 minutes of your day commenting about these guys like going to hell, or why don't they make Muslim comedies? It was like, if anything, it was just like comedic and a really great, it was just a great look at what America is like, in the sense of like, oh, there's this huge demographic of people that like know very little about things, but will give part of their day online screaming about
that. Yeah, it's the same people that will just read a headline and then will write their comment instead of reading of the article or anything.
Yeah. Anybody who types out the phrase "do your research" on Facebook, it's typically those people. Best. Anyone who's willing to say "do your research" then just hit you with a machine gun of links that they think will change your mind.
My favorite is always the people that start their sentence off with "imagine." Imagine being so lame, two dudes to make a film making fun of well-meaning Christians.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing is like, and I'm sure this is a game you understand. It's just like, we needed to build awareness. And so let's say 10,000 people were hacked off enough to write a negative comment. The number of people that we reached were so much greater than that. And then that helped us attract other talent to the film, that helped us make the film appear as though it were like a bigger thing, which it became as a result of these things. So for us, it was win-win.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that was that part of y'all securing such good talent, or was the film completely done for that? Because for people that don't know, I mean, Jason Alexander from Seinfeld is in this movie. Freaking Todd Packer. Keckner?
David Keckner.
David Keckner. Yeah. The guy from John Wick, what's his name?
Yeah,
Lance Reddick.
Lance Reddick, such a badass dude. And then some of these ladies in here that I didn't know as well, but pretty high up in their own right too. Like, there was one girl from what's the comedy? Was it like Hall Pass or
Carly Craig? That's actually my old roommate who first got me on to doing the videos in the first place. Okay. Carly Craig.
Yeah, so she's been a lot of really big or like pretty big movies.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say that the Fox News stuff did anything in terms of like, it's not like that got us any of those people, but I will say just in general, it helped. I mean, like Margaret Cho had heard of the movie, which at least goes a long way in the sense of like, anybody that's a little bit bigger is more inclined to read or do something that they've heard about, obviously, as opposed to just like a micro budget movie.
Yeah.
And so it was helpful for all of that stuff, but it wasn't, you know, we didn't really use that for casting, but we didn't not include it. Like,
yeah. So you have this like amazing cast, and I don't want to give too much away about the movie, but, Jason Alexander kicks you in the nuts. What was that whole experience working with him like? I mean, that dude is a superstar in the grand scheme of things. How was that?
Yeah, that was, you know, there's no other way to put it aside from that was, you know, probably the greatest working day of my life. And we all had, I had such a blast with him on set. He was, you know, he's probably my favorite character from my favorite comedy. And it was a literal dream come true. And we never thought he would ever, you know, consider it. You know, we had a cast list that our executive producer would kind of leave notes on. And one of his notes on Jason Alexander was perfect, but impossible. and so it was very surreal that it happened. And then I think the best part about it, to be honest, was just that, like, you know, you hope that those people live up to your expectations and they often don't.
Yeah. Meeting your
They often don't, you know, whether they're having a bad day when you meet them or they're just not, you know, they're jaded or whatever. And he really like surpassed everything. Like, he was just the nicest human being in the world. He went above and beyond to like both in just being a great guy on set and like bringing it. Like, when you see the movie, it's like he brings it, dude.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he, you know, I think the one thing that was nice about this movie for all these roles, when you do a movie that's on such a low budget, nobody from the crew to Jason Alexander is doing this for the paycheck.
Right.
And that, in my opinion, goes a long way in the movie having like a positive vibe to it and being a good movie, because all these people are there because they want to maybe making something awesome. And when you start to get into like bigger budgets, you know, it's hard to kind of keep that, because now all of a sudden it's like a job to people.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, it went really a long way, especially with him, just like you could tell the whole time he was there that he was excited to be playing Nicky Steele, and he, yeah,
that's gotta be,
it was his idea to kick me in the nuts.
That's gotta be, yeah, it's so funny. and I hope you're okay after all that. It's gotta be,
I gave him three takes.
It's gotta be such huge validation for y'all when you write something to have somebody like that saying, I don't care about the money for this, or maybe he didn't vocalize that, but like imply that I don't care about the money.
Clearly
I just want to be in this deal. Like, that's got, not many people, I'm sure, get that type of validation from such superstars. And so now y'all are in eternal amounts of debt paying for him to be on the movie, right?
Basically.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So Tanner, what, like, you had a part in writing this movie too? Like, is it, how, what is this, like 50-50? Did y'all, or is it like a whole co-write thing?
I didn't put any fingers on keyboards for this.
Okay. You were just the face.
Yeah, I've just, honestly, the movie's about me, really. And it's about my spiritual journey. The movie's about a guy who works at a bar and his friend has this crazy idea to make a movie. I remember we brainstorm a lot. Vince, Luke, and myself on all kinds of different ideas. We brainstorm a lot. And so I remember Luke being like, hey, I've got this idea for this thing. And we'd brainstorm over it at the bar and grill around the corner from my place here.
Yeah.
And
where you filmed?
Yeah. Different bar, actually. Oh, okay. What could be funny things in this story? What could be funny characters? Like, what is an interesting way to make this joke? And so that went on for a month or two. And then the idea became like, oh, well, we're going to try to do this as a movie. And then like the three of us sort of like put together as much of the story as we could. And then Luke went off and wrote it all.
Yeah. Is that a constant rhythm for y'all? Like, I mean, I'm trying to picture this brainstorming process. Is that like, do you have a weekly sit down where you like intentionally try to brainstorm, or is it just y'all just living life and texting each other?
It's definitely more like that until it gets time to like really get serious about it, you know? And then it's kind of like, all right, what are we really thinking the story looks like? You know, cause we could basically shoot the shit all day long about like the gist of it or jokes in it or whatnot. Yeah. And then it kind of becomes like, all right, let's get serious about this. And actually like the script we hopefully are going to do next, Tanner and I actually did co-write together. That was like our first, at least my first time kind of like really co-writing something. And that was like a really cool, interesting process as well. I didn't know how that was going to go, cause I'm so used to like, you know, brainstorming with people, but then kind of like going off for 2 months and into a cave and coming out with a script. And it was kind of cool. We probably wrote this faster than either of us had ever written anything. And I think a lot of that was because so much of writing, as you know, having just written a book, is procrastinating. Yes. Or checking Instagram. And so what was kind of great with our process on this is having like two people in the same room, it could kind of be like, all right, you want to tackle this one? And then I will just sit over here on my Instagram and then we'll just kind of like, oh, cool, now I'll tackle this one. And so it kind of in a weird way made it so there was no procrastination, because at all times someone is writing.
Yeah.
And then I would kind of like go back through it just to make sure it was all like cohesive sounding like one voice, you know.
Yeah.
But it worked out really well.
That's cool. And so Tanner, what's it like acting something that is part of like a brainchild of both of yours? Like, is that a weird thing to feel like? Did you ever sit down and be like, this is strange that this was in our brain
actually
at first and now?
Well, I tell you, okay, so yes and no. The only strange thing about Faith-Based was knowing that it was going to be a full-length movie. That was the only thing that was like strange, is to conceptualize it like, oh, my face is going to be on this screen for 85 minutes or whatever it is. And I know that was the same for Luke as well. But the whole process of being like, here's this idea that we have hatched, now it's going to be on camera, is something that both of us have been doing for years. And so that part of it is actually, that's actually one of my favorite parts, is like coming up, like I did this whole series with friends called, you can look them up there on YouTube, they're called the re-ensnackments, like a reenactment, but with the word snack. And so we would literally put on giant fruit and vegetable costumes and reshoot dramatic scenes from movies line for line, shot for shot. And so like in terms of like the weirdness of like, oh, we're actually doing a thing we thought about, like those kinds of ideas are much more weird than faith-based. But faith-based was an hour and a half, which is honestly a little terrifying.
Yeah. And knowing that
we definitely both had like moments too of like neither of us have ever been the lead in a movie, and let alone kind of like in all of the movie. And then all of a sudden you throw in people like Lance Reddick, who's, you know, star of The Wire, the most like critically acclaimed drama of all time. And all of a sudden there is a little more pressure than just doing a Funny or Die video where you're like, ah, we're just going to like shoot the shit for a day. And if we get something funny out of it, great. If we don't, you know, whatever. All of a sudden I've got like a scene with Lance and he's like, you know, basically really dramatic with me. And I'm just like, oh man, am I going to like, you know, oh boy.
I'm sure you had to feel like some amount of pressure to put on like a professional vibe, having not been the lead in a movie, or maybe not. At least I would, I think, saying like working with these heavy hitters and being like, all right, don't look like an idiot.
There was definitely like, as we were getting ready to do this, I know that for short films and any number of things that I've done of that nature, a lot of it would be like getting the script memorized, you know, practicing it once or twice on set and not really thinking about it more in that regard, the rehearsal or the practice part. But for faith-based, every single day, Luke and I would run lines a lot.
Yeah.
And so
like we joke, but both of y'all work extremely hard and are actually pros. Like it's funny to make jokes about it, but like there's no diminishing the amount of work that you guys put into this. Like, no, I don't think people understand, man. Like I got it. A short film you can make on an iPhone, but making a no shit full length film, I'm sure is just like writing a book where it's just like, you got to put days and days and months over and over working all these different things. And it's just impressive that you two guys, having not done it before, well, you did the Fear Inc, but having not done it at this scale before, we're able to get it all the way to finish to get the publicity for it. It's really impressive to me. It's like it's really a good example for people, I think, that are probably sitting in the same town as you that are kicking themselves for not having their next Brad Pitt role. It's like, you don't really have
dude, Brad Pitt, Thelma and Louise, man. Yeah. You still got a few minutes to earn our love back.
Heck, listen, if you work hard, we might bring you in for a callback.
Yes. So, getting like, I know we're getting pretty close to time, but where does the movie stand now? So the movie's coming out in theaters, or it's out in theaters now. Where does it stand now?
If the theater thing is like, I'm not joking, we got a different email literally every single week about the state of theaters and COVID.
Oh yeah.
To the point that we are 100% go watch it in the safety of your home. It came out on Friday. It's basically anywhere you can buy or rent a movie. So all the like iTunes, Amazon, Fandango, Roku's of the world, you know, wherever you would kind of like buy or rent a movie, it's there. And that's
also, let me say this real quick for anybody listening. The good Lord doesn't forgive pirators. So don't pirate our movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's one of the few deadly sins.
That's one of the few. Yeah. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but he doesn't forgive piracy.
Yes. Yeah, sex before marriage. You can ask forgiveness 300 times.
But I swear to God, if you go to piratebay.com,
if you go to piratebay.com, God will strike you down.
Yeah, you're just going to get two knocks on your door, and it's going to be these two knuckleheads standing there. We're going to give you a knuckle sandwich.
Yeah. Look, I will fly to New Mexico. Wherever you are,
dude, your VPN can only protect you for so long.
That's right. That's right.
Coming to find you. That's awesome. Personal question: are y'all rich from the movie yet? Since releasing Friday,
How much money do you have? We're We made.
I was rich until I bought this Porsche that's parked out front. Now I spent a lot of my first. It's weird. We don't even know how the movie's doing yet, to be honest. Yeah. But it's. I think what our hope is, and is for this movie, is that it continues. Like, the movie's miraculously at 93% on Rotten Tomatoes after 30 reviews. And like, I think our hope with this more than anything else, I think, I hope over time it gets sort of a fun cult following, especially with people that like are familiar with youth group or Christian movies or whatever. And then I hope that like people in the industry, you know, see that 93% and say, what are these guys doing next?
Yeah.
And then when we go make our next one, all of a sudden, like we have Jason Alexander, but we also have Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or well, we actually get the pick. Of the litter.
Yeah.
Here's also the truth is like people don't get rich from movies like this or from like small independent movies. Like, just because a movie, listen, on iTunes, we're like not too far away from other really famous films that are like sequels. Like we're right next to Bill and Ted on iMovie and whatnot.
Y'all been compared.
We've been compared to them. very nice, lovely comparison. Alex Winder is an angel, and we're glad that he watched our movie. But it's like you don't get rich off of an independent movie. Now, if they want us to do Fast and Furious 12,
yes,
you know, then you might get rich.
Have y'all gotten any? And if not, it's completely fine. But have y'all gotten any like personal reach outs or connections from this movie doing so well for an independent film? Like, are people calling you now saying like, hey, let's talk, or like, hey, I've got this project? No. All right. I'll cut this.
No, not yet. I mean, it's like, the movie it just came out. Yeah. So it's like, and then it kind of takes representation, like raising on a movie this small, it's like, it takes kind of representation to be raising awareness. So I think that kind of stuff starts now. Okay. And it takes having another project ready to go, which we're finalizing as well.
I do want to tell a real quick story that we haven't told in a long time. Yes, please, in January, please. When it was in Santa Barbara, our first screening, packed, sold out, just slammed in a big theater. And so we're down there in the front after it doing like questions and answers and whatnot. And in our movie, we make a couple references to Sharknado. And then, so at the question and answer, at the end of our very first screening, this guy holds his hand up and somebody calls on him and he goes, yeah, I'm actually the producer of Sharknado. And then everyone in the auditorium started laughing. And then he goes, no, I'm serious. And I'd like to talk to you guys after the movie.
So we haven't even followed up with him. So yeah. I think we need to send him like an email today that's just kind of like, hey, the movie came out. What's up with Sharknado 12?
Yeah. We'd love to
collaborate.
Sharknado 12 starring Luke and Tanner. Let me tell you right now, 100% possible.
Yes, your agent's like, look, I've got the next Bill and Ted right here for Sharknado 12.
Yeah.
So good. All right. Well, so the movie Faith Based is out now. Everybody go buy it and or rent it and not pirate it. How do people find you online, Luke and Tanner?
You can find me on Instagram at Graham of Tan because I'm witty.
Very witty. Wow.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram with a very quintessential I am Luke Barnett name that they use.
Wow, it's kinda conceited.
And Twitter, I got somehow convinced someone to give up their handle. So on Twitter, I'm just at Luke Barnett.
Wow, that's pretty exclusive. Nice. Well,
the other Luke Barnett is actually a very well-known and horrible pastor in Arizona who he's been one of the people that has been really pushing to make gatherings happen again. And he thinks that masks are fake. So I keep getting messages from this other Luke Barnett that I have to keep responding like, wrong Luke Barnett. That's the bad Luke Barnett.
Researching before this, I did see him come up because like, I typed in Luke Barnett and I was like, surely there's not many, but it was all stuff about him.
Dream City.
Yeah.
Dream City Church, mega church, one of the biggest.
Okay, maybe I'll do some digging on that one. I've got a pretty good platform for that. All right, well, Luke and Tanner, thanks for spending the time with me today. And again, love the movie, and I think other people will too. And also, everybody have a sense of humor when you watch this movie. It's not a drama, it's a comedy. So relax and laugh at yourselves if you're in the Christian world. So again, guys, I appreciate you doing this, and let's get that burger next time in LA.
Next time, man. Hell yeah, dude.
All right, thanks for having us, dude.
All righty. Talk to you later.
We'll see you later.
Thanks again for checking out this episode of the Preachers and Sneakers podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the pod on Apple Podcasts and all the other platforms that you listen to delicious pods like this one. Also, head on over to your favorite book retailer and start to pre-order the new Preachers and Sneakers book, Authenticity in an Age of For-Profit Faith and Wannabe Celebrities. This is pretty much the biggest thing to happen to the Preachers and Sneakers account since the start of it. So I'm super proud and pumped and terrified at the same time. So would love it if you pre-ordered and checked out the book, and be sure to stay on the lookout for exclusive content and giveaways and merch and all that by subscribing to the email list at preachersandseekers.com. Drop your email there and you'll get some of the most exclusive news, content, merch, all that good stuff by being on that email list. So I really appreciate everyone's attention and time today, as well as support throughout the years. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to keep an eye out for the next episode of the Preachers and Sneakers podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.